saving money in your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need for keeping your outdoor power equipment in tip-top shape. Ensure your lawnmower or boat is running smooth this year. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale. View our entire selection of FVP batteries today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of the great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I'm Madeline.
And this is yet another installment of Tay Rewind, a series where we zoom in on one specific historical moment in Taylor's career. And today we're doing probably the most consequential thing that has ever happened to Taylor Swift. If there was a line that demarcated the before and after times of her career, this is the line. And the line is Snakegate.
A lot of people might refer to this as, quote unquote, the cancellation.
The dark time. The Taylor Swift
is over
party. The dark times,
yes. Very much the medieval times of Taylor Swift. This is definitely like, I don't usually think about like when people became fans, depending on the situation, depending on what we're talking about. But I do think there's something to be said about people who were fans during Snakegate, at least, like became fans during 1989 at the latest and got to see the whole thing unfold, because it's actually kind of difficult to fully describe it unless you were actually there. It's hard to convince people of how bad it was. It's really hard to convince people of how bad it was.
It really was like she's over. And I think revisiting it in detail when I was putting the script together for this episode, I was like, you know what? She does have a right to be pissed off about this for the rest of her life. She doesn't have the right to be doing Thank You, Amy. I'm saying if we want to keep talking about this, we have to come up with a different angle. We have to come up with a different sound, because the songs that are continuing to come from this scenario are not of a high caliber. And I think that's because she's still like really wounded by this and has not, she will forgive and forget, but never let it go. And she hasn't exactly forgiven or forgotten.
Nope. Mm-mm. Or let it go.
I don't think she should. No. Honestly, this is one of those things where like, I will support the cross to bear for the entire rest of her life. I understand why this hurt her so deeply. And I thought it would be good to revisit it because it's kind of the anniversary. This is the season. Tis the damn season for cancellation. And also there's a lot more to it that I forgot about, because you have to understand, being a diehard Swiftie during this time, you had to log out. I literally had to log out. I was defending her every single day of my life. And then I was like, this is useless. I'm fighting against a battle that I simply won't win. So I kept defending her, but I had to like not scroll. There was no scrolling going on. It was just posting and tagging Kim Kardashian and telling her she's the worst thing that ever happened to the world. And was that a lie?
I don't think that was necessarily a lie. Whether it's about Taylor or not, I think that there's a kernel of truth to that. And I think many people today would agree. Back then, not so much.
Your enemies will defeat themselves before they get the chance to swing. That really is true for both of the people that are involved in wronging Taylor Swift here. But I mean, it is interesting. So before we get into it, I was going to advertise Evolution of a Snake live in London and Dublin on September 4th, September 8th. But after less than 2 weeks of sales, we're sold out.
We have to smile. That's all there is to it. We just have to smile.
Have to smile. We are currently exploring extra dates in both of those cities, but I think it's too close to the time of the actual show for that to be like a real reality. Keep in mind, we're independently producing the show ourselves. So it's not like with the American tour with our agent where everyone else kind of worked out the details for us. We are the details. We are the details. And what we realized is we did not let them know soon enough that we would need an extra date, because we didn't know it was going to sell out this fast. So basically what we're trying to do as a compromise is add seats in both of the venues. There are a couple of different ways we can explore doing that. Dublin has some standing only room, and London may have like a row in the back that they use for cameras that we might be able to clear. So we're going to stay tuned to evolutionofsnake.com and our Instagram to see if any additional tickets will drop. They'll go fast if they do. So we can't wait to see you. It's also topical to what we're talking about today.
It's topical, but mentioned. Snakegate mentioned.
Bleachella and Snakegate mentioned. All right, so let's just get right into it. The beginning of this story, we begin our story in New York. No, we actually begin this story when Taylor's on vacation with her family at the beginning of 2016. And what's kind of crazy to me is like, in how little of a time it went so sideways, because at the VMAs in like August of 2015, Taylor is introducing Kanye as he announces his run for president and they're best friends. She posts an Instagram of the flowers he sends her, and it's her most liked picture on Instagram ever. That happens like a mere months before it's war declared in February. So in January, this call transpires and takes place. It is recorded. Taylor does not know that she's being recorded. Don't worry, we're going to get into exactly what happened on that phone call later, because that is the centerpiece of this discussion. So in February 11th, to be specific, 2016, Kanye premieres his song Famous during the Yeezy Season 3 fashion show and the Life of Pablo album listening event at Madison Square Garden. First of all, Karlie Kloss was there and she didn't look too disturbed by what she heard, did she?
No, no. I remember this was probably one of the things that is stuck in my brain the most from this event at Madison Square Garden with Kanye West and the Life of Pablo listening party. She was grooving hardcore with a pint of beer. She did DGAF. And I remember everybody was saying she didn't hear it. She didn't know what was happening. I don't know. I don't know.
A crook who got caught. That's the kind of behavior you display when you're a crook who got caught. And also what's so funny to me is if you look back at the images, the Kardashians look like fools. Kylie's in her like goddamn blue wig. Like they have 85 pounds of contour on. They're all wearing disgusting Fashion Nova, like faux like sheepskin and like tight lycra dress. I'm like, ew, thank God this period of fashion is over, because it really was a hideous time for aesthetics.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, like there was some, the I always think of it as like hype beast almost. Everybody was doing it. Personally, I think that we need to return to some of the makeup trends of yesteryear, because the clean girl thing is It's not for Madeline. I don't know if you could tell, but it's not for Madeline. Nonetheless, the Kardashians always look like clowns to me.
Clowns. They always look like clowns. And that's the thing, when you follow trends and stuff, eventually you do just look like a clown later on. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Kanye West claims, so the lyrics are already sparking controversy when they come out. I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous. He claims on Twitter after this, because there is initially an uproar about it. Swifties are going mental. Other outlets are picking this up and saying, what the hell? He says, I called Taylor and had an hour-long convo with her about the line, and she thought it was funny and gave her blessings. Tree Payne almost immediately issues a statement that says, Kanye did not call for approval, but to ask Taylor to release his single Famous on her Twitter account. She declined and cautioned him about releasing a song with such a strong misogynistic message. Taylor was never made aware of the actual lyric, I made that bitch famous. This statement is very important, because this is where the miscommunications and misunderstandings happened. So it's true that Kanye did not call for approval. This is the thing that they kind of, Kim Kardashian gets hung up on later. But the part about this, if I was on the publicity team in hindsight, that I would go back and correct. I think at this point, Taylor's team doesn't know that the call was recorded, right? So they can kind of spin their perception of it in a way that is more favorable. It is true that Taylor talked to him about feminists coming after him with think pieces, but it wasn't in a way where she was cautioning him about releasing a song with such a strong misogynistic message. She was actually like, oh my God, I think it's so funny and cool. But you might not want to say, because the original line was, I feel like me and Taylor might still owe me sex. We'll get into that later. But the Tree Payne statement is kind of the thing that blew it all up, which is funny because a publicist's job is generally to not escalate conflicts in the public eye.
She flew too close to the sun. She flew far too close to the sun. Let's call a spade a spade. She said, let me make Taylor look good really quick and act like she was so offended and disgusted by this line really quick. And it's like, uh-oh, shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that.
And this is why Tree Payne was so happy to join in on the tomatoes when the eventual call got leaked, because it justified her doing her job. We were saying at the time, Tree Payne fired. We were saying Tree Payne, job application needed, because this one not working out.
Yeah, we were saying I'm gonna see Tree Payne work in the McFlurry machine at McDonald's any day now, because this was just not good.
It was
and
bad.
This was also, this was not the only, remember, this is like 2016, this was not the only thing that happened. Like, remember the Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift thing? Tree Payne, where were you then?
Where were you then?
And you Taylor did it at my birthday party.
this was her always on era. She was always on the phone. She was always sharing her thoughts. And she definitely learned from that post this situation because she is not as reactive as she once was. But I think there's like kind of two instances where as a publicist, Trepayne should have stepped in and been like, I think even though you're right, this is going to escalate the conflict. And the thing is that like sometimes being right is not the most important thing. It's frustrating. You want to be understood, but sometimes indignation lands poorly, and it definitely landed poorly for Taylor here. So the first thing she did that I thought was a catastrophic mistake was at the Grammys, which is 4 days later, she takes this opportunity, her winning album of the year for the second time on stage with all the men. It kills me that it's like the girl boss era and there's like a line of men standing behind her. That has always killed me. So she gets on stage and she gets this like maniacal look in her eye and she stares directly into the camera. She says something about how there are going to be people along the way who will try to undercut your success or take credit for your accomplishments or your fame. Tori Kelly said, what was that?
Tori Kelly didn't want to hear anything about it. That's probably my favorite cutaway in the audience is Tori Kelly's
face.
Disgusted. Well.
And the thing is that like at this point in the world, Taylor was on top of the world. It had been years at this point of like glowing coverage, Doll Domination World Tour. She had, you know, really continued to pursue the limelight through the 1989 tour with the endless guests, with the endless accomplishments and extravaganzas. She opened the show that evening. Like there was so much to celebrate at this Grammys, and it was all completely overshadowed by Taylor choosing this moment to take a shot. And it was like, it's not that she doesn't have the right to say that and to defend herself. It's just that this is counterproductive because don't you want this evening to be, since you feel disturbed by someone else taking credit for your fame and your success, don't you want to let the work shine and stand for its own in this moment because it totally deserved to? It was 1989.
Well, here's the thing. Past me, I want to tell you not to get lost in these petty things. That's all there is to it. She got a little bit lost in the sauce. Now, 1989, like everything pre-Snakegate, even like during Snakegate up until like the actual cancellation, she was in that sauce. He wanted to be, he wanted a bride.
He was a boy, she was a girl.
What do you want me to tell you? She was very much like in the empirical era where she was like, I can't really be toppled. And, you know, like my fans will back me up no matter what. And it's like, well, you know, your fans, this wasn't true then. I don't know about now, but it wasn't true then that your fans are the strongest army in the world. They were not. We would come to find that out. And Taylor learned not to get lost in these petty things. I mean, that's all there is to it. I always kind of got...
How terrible it would soon become.
Little did we know how terrible things would soon become. I remember watching this live and I kind of remember feeling really 50-50 about it. I was like, yeah, I mean, this is kind of tea. Like I'm clapping and I'm cheering.
She's right.
You know, for the girl boss.
Right.
She's right.
That's the
but
thing.
At the same
right.
time, I remember thinking, this is starting to skew.
Petty.
You know what I mean? Like, it's starting to go to that place. And it's like, I never really think of her that way, except for in song, except for when she's saying there's nothing I do better than revenge. That's when I clap and I cheer for the rant. But when it's like on the stage of the Grammys, when you just had this major accomplishment, it's like, and you want to take shots. Okay. Got it.
You're just redirecting everyone's attention. That's the thing, because the headline is now no longer going to be Taylor Swift's second album of the year win. The headline is going to be Taylor Swift responds to Kanye West. It seemed like counterproductive to what she actually wanted, which was to be appreciated and celebrated for her own
right.
work and her own accomplishments. So it just felt really stupid. And at this point in her journey, Taylor was really addicted to controlling the narrative. It had become clear at this point that her press and our publicists were very aggressive in pursuing people for not writing positive things about her and being overzealous in terms of trying to shut stories down. And I think Streisand effect. That happened big time to Taylor. It was like, you actually can't control what people say about you. She had gotten to a point, I think, where she thought that she really could control what people said about her. And she would soon realize that actually that isn't true. And the harder you try to hold on to your version of events, the more invested people become in uncovering the lie or the conspiracy or the
right.
scam. So that, again, counterproductive. So a few months go by Taylor, I think for like separate reasons, is not really being viewed as a positive public figure. She's getaway card. She's getting in with Tom Hiddleston. Met Gala has happened. People are kind of starting to be like, who is that? She's coconut head. She's bleach blonde. who is this? And we were all wondering.
When he says people, he's not even just talking about like the outside, like the public perception. He's talking about us. Like Swifties.
We were like, who
there was
is that?
Definitely a moment, and it was definitely Bleachella, which of course now in hindsight is cunt, et cetera, et cetera. But like at the time it was like, who the hell is that?
Who is this? Who is this? And this was also like right after that GQ article came out where she was talking right. about how sometimes it feels like she's steering a plane that's out of control and it might crash at any moment. These things were percolating. And what's interesting is in that conversation in January, she had said to Kanye, I'm this close to overexposure. But it was like she couldn't help herself. She couldn't dial it down. She couldn't take a step back. She just had to keep going. So in June, the beginning of June, Kim Kardashian gives an interview to GQ claiming that there's a video recording of Kanye's call where Taylor personally approves the lyrics. Kim says she totally approved that. She knew that it was coming out. She wanted to all of a sudden act like she didn't. Now, what I thought was interesting here is that the article actually expands on what happened behind the scenes. So this is a quote. There is some skirmishing between Team Kanye and Team Taylor about the recorded phone conversation and whether or not Taylor's team had gone legal about it. This was before Kim threatened to post it. So they somehow knew that there was a recording. I don't know how, but they did. I asked Kim how Taylor Swift's people would have known about the footage if Swift didn't even realize she was being recorded in the first place. Kim tells me she isn't sure, but she thinks someone from Team Kanye might have called someone from Team Taylor. And then they sent an attorney's letter, like, this is what Kim's saying, don't you dare do anything with that footage, asking us to destroy it. She pauses. When you shoot something, you don't stop every 2 seconds to be like, oh, wait, we're shooting this for my documentary. You just film everything at what makes the edit you see, and then you send out releases. It's like what we do for our show. GQ later contacted Kanye's reps to inquire about the possible video footage and threat of legal action from Swift's team. While Team Kanye asserted that Kanye and Taylor's conversation had been filmed and they had heard from her lawyers, they declined to provide further proof. A spokesperson for Taylor Swift declined to directly answer questions seeking clarification on the matter and instead provided the following statement printed here in radiant completeness. Taylor does not hold anything against Kim Kardashian as she recognizes the pressure Kim must be under and that she is only repeating what she has been told by Kanye West. However, that does not change the fact that much of what Kim is saying is incorrect. Kanye and Taylor only spoke once on the phone while she was on vacation with her family in January of 2016. They have never spoken since. Taylor has never denied that conversation took place. It was on that phone call that Kanye West also asked her to release a song on her Twitter account, which she declined to do. Kanye West never told Taylor he was going to use the term that bitch in referencing her. A song cannot be approved if it was never heard. Kanye West never played the song for Taylor Swift. Taylor heard it for the first time when everyone else did and was humiliated. Kim Kardashian's claim that Taylor and her team were aware of this being recorded is not true, and Taylor could not understand why Kanye West and now Kim Kardashian will not just leave her alone.
Now, this is a good statement because I consider all of this to be 100% totally true. Like, this is literally the 100% total truth. She didn't know she was going to get called that bitch.
It's crazy that Taylor actually was called a liar because she did not lie. The only thing in this scenario that is not a lie but a stretch of the truth is warning Kanye against a misogynistic message. That's like the most stretched truth element. And Kim and Kanye did not zero in on that as being the thing that Taylor lied about. The lie they want to tell, which is so easily disproven, is that she said, yes, I approve of this lyric and I want the song to come out.
And that, you know, she's going to clap and cheer from the sidelines to the point where Kanye felt bold enough to ask her to post it on Twitter.com, which is crazy to me that he really thought she was going to do that. But again, it's hard to get into the mind. Even back then, it's hard to get into the mind of Kanye West or Kim Kardashian, for that matter. That's a situation I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall.
Something that really like strikes me here is that the person who was really, really aggressive about this is Kim. Kim was really aggressive about this the entire time. And it's like, why the hell are you falling on your sword for something that your crazy man did? Like, when you listen to the conversation that Taylor was having with Kanye in full, he's going on these demented 3-minute rants about how he owes Nike billions of dollars. And Taylor's like, okay, yeah. Well, anyway, back to what we're talking about. Like, Kim, you know better than anyone that your husband is unstable. At this point, like, it wasn't a secret. And we've been knew Kim Kardashian was not a girl's girl. She took it upon herself, apropos of nothing, to try and end Taylor's career. And I can only think it was because Kim was like, at this point, trying to be the HBIC of media and culture. She had simply gotten too big for her britches.
Yeah, I think Kim, again, I think both Taylor and Kim really thought that they were like, it was kind of like it was like Regina George and Katie in Mean Girls. So that's kind of always how I think of it. Like that they both thought they were like the Regina George in so much, you know what I mean? Like they both thought they were at the top of the food pyramid. And it's like, well.
And they were, but in different ways. And I think also each of them antagonizes something in the other. Like what Taylor sees in Kim was a cool factor. Someone who was like really like of the moment and like in touch with the trends of what's going on. And Kim obviously saw in Taylor what is her number one insecurity and fear, which is that nobody cares about you because you're talentless. So you have to do these cheap shots and do all of these stunts to stay relevant. Whereas Taylor Swift will forever be relevant because of the art she produces. Something, a stage you could never book.
Yeah, people aren't going to be talking about Keeping Up with the Kardashians and the profound impact that it had on art for years and years to come. I hate to be the one that has to tell her that.
It's going to be negativity. We're going to talk about like what your family did to plastic surgery and how that affected young women. Like your legacy is not a legacy. It's like infamy. Taylor Swift has a legacy. And I think that that really bothers Kim, hence her actively trying to dismantle it. And it's appalling. So then June 24th, the famous music video premieres. This is like widely considered to be revenge porn, not just of Taylor Swift, but also of Amber Rose, who Kanye actually was intimate and familiar with. The fact that Kim was still riding 10 toes down, if you ever needed any confirmation that Kim Kardashian is an evil woman who's not interested in the health and wellness of other women in the world, there you go.
Yeah, she was riding for this one too. I wonder what she would say about it today. I really, really wonder. Truly, I do. Can't be.
Well,
he's probably
thinks
right
it's iconic.
The whole time.
She's like, yay, another iconic moment I was part of. Because she doesn't, I don't really think she distinguishes between like good attention and bad attention. It's just attention for her. That's the currency.
Yeah, that's interesting. Kind of the same thing with like, I don't know.
Posing with Elon Musk's robot. Like,
yeah.
Obviously everybody's going to hate you for that. And she did it anyway. Like, she doesn't care.
What's really funny about that to me is that, like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, that probably would have been one of the things, break the internet. But for some reason now, like, ever since COVID,
she's no power. She has
no power. Yep.
Everybody thinks it's lame. Nobody cares. And she's dying a slow death, basically, because of that. So, obviously, this is, I think, one of the more horrific things that has ever happened to Taylor Swift. Like, this was just so unnecessarily violating. And at this point, Taylor has made her position very clear. In fact, she was being very kind and generous to Kim, giving her a lot of the benefit of the doubt in that statement, being like, you know what? I'm a woman. This was Taylor's Women Supporting Women era. She like couldn't come out and attack her. So she was like, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and imagine that you're being controlled and influenced by someone who has an agenda to prove me wrong. But I'm going to give you the space. So what does she get in return for giving Kim Kardashian that grace? July 17th, 2016. Kim tweets, wait, it's legit National Snake Day. They have holidays for everybody. I mean, everything these days. Out of context, this is a really cunty tweet.
It is so good. No, it is. It's really cunty. Good. It's so good.
It's like one of the great Donald Trump tweets. You know, it's like a broken clock really is right once in a millennia.
It's so good.
It was very funny. Not at this period of time, but in hindsight.
No. Taylor wasn't laughing.
And you know
and
what?
Neither were we.
We can love Snakegate now because Taylor completely reclaimed it as her own thing. Like reclaiming the image of the snake was a boss move. And we love it. Like, thank God this happened to her. Because if there hadn't been this, there would have been you. What does she say? What's the lyric?
If there hadn't been you.
It's true,
Amy. Thank you, Amy.
Oh, I listened to it the other day on the train and I was like, this song is utter.
And you know what? It's abominable in all ways. It's not just about the fact that it's about Snakegate or whatever. It's about Kim Kardashian again. I don't think it's well written. It's not well produced. The chorus is like flat, I feel like.
It's a horrible song.
It's horrible.
And
it's
every
bad,
stretch of the imagination is horrible.
Thank you.
So anyway, on July 17th, National Snake Day, and then Kim posts a series of Snapchat videos that are selectively edited to make it seem as though Taylor personally approved the lyrics. So it really is like Kim recorded only the parts that she wanted to record and posted. It seems as though because she posts like a series of videos that it's the whole video. That's what it looks like. Because it was really smart to release it via Snapchat, actually, because there's a natural time limit on Snapchat, it looks like it's just continuing on. Whereas if she posted the edited version on like YouTube, you would see the cuts. But because it's Snapchat, you don't see them. The medium really matters. So Taylor responds immediately in a notes app. And this is also, again, where the publicist should have stepped in. Taylor says, "Where's the video of Kanye telling me he was going to call me that bitch in his song? It doesn't exist because it never happened. You don't get to control someone's emotional response to being called that bitch in front of the entire world. Of course, I wanted to like the song. I wanted to believe Kanye when he told me that I would love the song. I wanted us to have a friendly relationship. He promised to play the song for me, but never did. While I wanted to be supportive of Kanye on the phone call, you cannot approve a song you haven't heard. Being falsely painted as a liar when I was never given the full story or played any part of the song is character assassination. I would very much like to be excluded from this narrative, one that I have never asked to be part of since 2009. I know that she wrote that and was like, bar, it's over.
Bar. It's kind of like when she does the talking, like in Me, she thought, hey, kids, spelling is fun, bar. Only the young, bar. And then it's like, it goes out into the world and she's like, oh no.
It's unlike you to pit women against other women, bar.
Bar.
So the problem with this is that... Well, first of all, the Achilles heel here is Taylor didn't have access to the full video. So she couldn't prove that Kim was editing it to make it sound like she was lying or saying something she didn't say. So she didn't have the evidence on her side. If you look at just what Kim posted, it does seem like Taylor lied. If that's all the information that you have, it does seem like Taylor was lying.
Well, I remember that dark day like it was yesterday. I was working all night and I got off work and I remember I got into my car and I used to like start the car and then sit there with the car like in it, you know, like not, I haven't started the car yet. It's just like in park. And I pick up my phone and I looked at my phone and I saw my Twitter notifications and I was like, no, I turned my car off. And I was like, this can't be happening. This can't be happening. I think at the time I was like, this is bad. Like, this is really, really bad because her response...
It was hard to defend her because we didn't have any evidence as well.
The notes app response, it made her look...
It made her look like she got caught. It really did make her look like she was scrambling and grasping at straws. Even though everything she said was true, it was the tone of it. It was very emotionally charged. It was very scolding. You don't get to control someone's, like, if she had just kept it, I think this is where publicist steps in to a really factual, rebuttal of what happened. And she immediately starts getting clowned on. I would very much like to be excluded from this narrative. Like, that immediately becomes the troll of all trolls against her. And it was hysterical. It was funny.
And again, at the time, we were not laughing.
No, it wasn't funny at the time.
I was sitting there thinking, like, there was definitely a thought that crossed my mind. Like, what if she really did lie? Like, what if this whole thing is, like, true?
Oh,
what
I thought that too, because there was no evidence.
It goes into your mind. It enters your head.
And Taylor had been acting the fool. At this point, she had been in the press for all the wrong reasons for months. It was like Tom Hiddleston, like people were over it. And they were over Taylor trying to be everywhere all the time. So when you come out with a big paragraph that ends with a line like that, it was just like colossally bad timing. And chaos ensues. Taylor's Instagram comments are flooded with snakes. And it goes on to become a catastrophic Taylor Swift is over party, something that very much affects her emotionally. She would, of course, go on to reclaim the snake during the Reputation era. But it's also important to note that it wasn't like when Reputation happened, everyone was like, you're forgiven, you were right, Kim was wrong. People just stopped caring about it. I think people still thought Kim exposed Taylor. Taylor is a liar. She's just moved on.
Yeah, I definitely think that too. There were still a very large contingency of people who did not like Taylor Swift. And I remember when the Reputation tracklist leaked and they saw titles such as Delicate, Don't Blame Me, I Did Something Bad, all out of context,
mind you. Playing the victim.
Yeah, look, there she goes again, playing the victim again. Now that was a bar.
that was a bar. I mean, the end of the Look What You Made Me Do video is one of the cuntiest things she has ever done in her entire life. I think yeah, it wasn't easy for her to rehabilitate her image because a part of it was really damaged, permanently damaged. Like there were people, and it is partly her fault because of how she handled communicating with the media and being a public presence before and after the situation. It wasn't just what Kim said and did. It was the way that Taylor interacted with her celebrity that made it become so much bigger than it should have been.
Definitely so. And I do still think that there are people who kind of still hold this against her. There are still people who hold 2009 VMAs against her. If you
That's
can believe
crazy.
That. Which is crazy
That's
to me.
They still say Kanye was right.
Kanye was right. We're saying Kanye was right in the year of our Lord 2025? Not on my watch.
Yeah, this is the thing. It's like if you, at this point now, you have to drop the Taylor Kanye stuff because there's a clear non-Nazi involved in this and it's not Kanye West. So let's fast forward to 2020. You know what? Okay, so Taylor's whole thing in Cassandra is, you know, when they burn the witches, they're screaming. When the truth comes out, it's quiet. To be fair, when this came out, there were, in fact, much bigger things going on in the world. Like, it was COVID, March 20, 2020. Like, this was when it was peak crisis. This is when all the lockdowns started happening. This is when people were dying left, right, and center. Like, it was a lot. However, some of us still had space. Some of us still had space for Taylor innocent. I had space for it. So Taylor is vindicated. She was telling the truth her whole time. Her main quibble was always, and she stuck to this, I never heard the line, I made that bitch famous. So the full video comes out unedited, and this is kind of an abridged version of what happened. You should read the transcript because it's crazy. Kanye calls her and he's ranting and raving and he's saying, I wanted to run this by you. And she nervously says, I hope it's not mean. She literally immediately is like, I really hope it's not mean. He says verbatim, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Taylor immediately responds with a sigh of relief going, oh, that's not bad. The way that you built it up, I thought it was going to be mean. Like you were going to say that stupid, dumb bitch. That's crazy that she said that because that's basically what he went on to add into the song after talking to her.
Isn't it funny how that works? She literally said in so many words, the implication there is, I don't want you to say something like that. And
I don't want you to call me a bitch.
It's like
he literally said, that's the one thing. Yeah, he was like that. She was like, that's the one thing you could do that would make me feel like you're being mean to me. And he said, bet.
Oh, I can blow this up bigger if you want. Mm-hmm. And so he did.
He was like, actually, thanks for telling me that because now I have ammo.
Now I have the ammo.
She does say she's this close to overexposure, but she only says that to explain why she doesn't want to be involved in the release of the song. In the way that Kim edits it, it makes it more seem like she's worried that someone is going to expose her for being a liar, which is not the context of what she said that in. Kim actually edited it really smartly. Like the way that Kim posted and framed it fed into all of the mean things people had been saying about Taylor for months. Kim Kardashian evil. So she's actually looking out for Kanye when she's talking about this. And she says, anything I do at the moment is subject to feminist think pieces. Because this is when the Nazi Barbie, Girl Squad evil, thin models taking over the world, not good. So she thought, I think it would just be best for me to say I love the song in an interview or something when someone asks about it rather than posting about it directly. In this scenario, Taylor is actually not on the side of the feminists, technically, because the way she talks about it, she's like, the feminists will come for you. It's not like I'm a feminist that will come for you, which is what Tree Payne kind of made the statement to be like. It was more like, oh, these silly feminists, like, let me help you manage their response. Pick me. It's a little pick me. She's being nice. She's actually being so nice to Kanye. Overly nice, overly generous, overly accommodating throughout this entire conversation, which is why I think also she was so upset by the way this was spun on her. So he then goes on to say that the line being, he wanted the line to actually be, Taylor still owes me sex, but he doesn't want the feminist to come for him. Taylor says, that's the part that I'm kind of, I mean, they're both really edgy, but the only thing about that line is the feminists are going to come out. I mean, you don't have to give a fuck, but you know, go ahead, use whichever line you think is better. It's obviously tongue in cheek either way. And I appreciate you telling me about it. I never would have expected you to do that. It's really nice. So they leave out, Kim Kardashian leaves out that bitch part entirely, leaves out Taylor saying, I don't want you to call that. Leaves out Taylor saying, I thought you were going to say something mean. Just goes for the Taylor approving it. This isn't her approving the song.
No, this is her approving one line and one line alone. She has no idea what the rest of the song is for the record. She's
saying,
never heard it.
I mean, she's saying, I can't control you. So like, do whatever you think is right. basically all the flattering things that she says to him that Kim edited are condensed into the Snapchat video, predicated on the fact that Taylor thinks the line in the song is something different from what it was. He circles around it and says, "What if I said I made her famous?" And she is actually visibly annoyed by this, like you can hear in her voice, but she's still trying to be a good sport. She says, "Well, what am I going to do about that?" Like, you're going to say, she knows him. She's like, "You're going to do whatever you want. You've got to tell the story the way that it happened to you and the way you've experienced it. Like, you honestly didn't know who I was before that. It doesn't matter if I sold 7 million of that album before you did that, which is what happened. You didn't know who I was before that. It's fine. But yeah, I can't wait to hear it." Hilarious so to me because she's like, she's low-key, like, passive-aggressively being like, "You didn't make me famous though." Which, you should say that. It's true.
I feel like she felt like, when I've listened to it myself and when I read the transcript and I'm sitting here with it now, I really feel like she was put on the spot. That's really how I'm feeling about this whole conversation. Like, you can tell, I kind of think she was uncomfortable with the, "I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex" line to begin with. And her being like, "The feminist might come for you. The feminist might come for you" is like, well, would they be entirely 100% wrong? She never says that.
Well, she doesn't. And to be fair, I think at this point, she was so attached to his approval and attached to them being on good terms that she basically would have said yes to almost anything. And I think that's really unfortunate. It is so perplexing to me why his specific approval was so important to her. I understand that he, like, we've talked about this before, like, he's the cultural icon, the tastemaker. But at a certain point, I was kind of like, why is this relationship so deeply important to you? I think it's because, and this is the rub, Taylor wanted him to admit that he didn't make her famous, and she was kind of secretly insecure about the fact that maybe he did. And in this exchange that they're having here, what he's saying to her is, "I still think that I made you famous. Even though I've kind of made you believe that I respect you and that we're cool, I do still think that I put you on." And Taylor is still in her way being like, "But you didn't though."
Yeah, it's just like logically, factually not true that the only reason that Taylor Swift, even at that point, was who she was is because of what happened in 2009 with the VMAs. It just doesn't make any sense in the 1989 era.
But like, what about all the other things that came after that?
There's only so many things. I mean, after that, technically, Speak Now was like, compared to like all the, you know, Red, compared to Fearless, like it wasn't as successful. So like, if that were the case, wouldn't Speak Now have been way more successful if it was all about Kanye West making her famous? I don't think so.
Wouldn't Innocent have been the song of the summer? It wasn't.
It wasn't. I'm going to tell you that for free.
She tried to make it so. Innocent
was not the song of the summer. She tried so hard to make it so. So yeah, I think she also had this thing inside of her that was like, that thing at the VMAs happened when she was so young. And it was like one of the first moments she experienced, like, somebody saying, "You're bad. You're not good. You're not the ingenue. Not everybody is impressed by you." And it like traumatized her in a way that was an approval that she was always going to try to win back no matter what, because she thought that it mattered. Now, of course, she knows that it doesn't. But when she was
pathological, you know, people pleaser. Yeah, you can literally hear her doing people pleasing in this, because to me, when I listen to it, it's really clear that she's uncomfortable and it's really clear that she doesn't want to have the conversation. She's been caught off guard. She had no idea what this conversation was going to be about. And there's also no publicists or like anyone else present on the call. So it's not like she can like look over to someone and take a note or take a beat. Like within an interview, she can be pulled away. She's literally being put on the spot. And to have that, I'm sure that was nerve wracking for her anyway. But to have that recorded is like, so it's messed up. So anyway, she goes on to rant and rave about being millions in dollars of debt to Nike. And she says, she's like, okay, like she's really trying to steer the conversation back to something that has something to do with her, because she's kind of being like, okay, I don't really understand why you're talking about this. It has nothing to do with anything. And I mean, this should have been the sign that this man was not well. But she says, "I'm always going to respect you. And I'm really glad that you had the respect to call me and tell me that as a friend about the song. It's a really cool thing to do and a really good show of friendship. So thank you. And you know, if people ask me about it," this is the part Kim takes, "look, I think it would be great for me to say, he called me and told me the line before it came out. The joke's on you guys. We're fine. You know, you guys want to call this a feud. You want to call it throwing shade. But you know, right after the song comes out, I'm going to be on a Grammy red carpet and they're going to ask me about it. And I'll be like, he called me and sent me the song before it came out. So I think we're good." He then immediately says, "I need to go lay this verse." And Taylor, with surprise, goes, "You haven't recorded it yet?" He says, "I recorded it. I'm nuancing the lines." So you admit it. So you admit that you never played her the song. So you admit it.
So you admit it. You think you're really pretty.
And again, this is, it's so unfair to lift this part of the conversation because, again, it immediately makes her look bad. And she's also here being so magnanimous about something that is so crazy. Like, he's calling to tell her, let me just bring up something that you're really insecure about and take credit for your accomplishments. She didn't approve that I made that bitch famous line also. She really didn't. Like, the part that she thought was funny was, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. That's the part that she was like, oh, that's not mean. He leads with that. He goes into, I made her famous. He didn't say, I made that bitch famous.
And that's all there is to it. Case closed. Any questions?
And that
anybody have any questions?
Completely changes the tone of I made her famous. It really does.
It really does. She was right. I'm saying Taylor right. If I was a man, then I'd be the man. Not a single lie was told. If was a man, then I'd be the man.
So then goes he. So he says, my wife was like, that doesn't sound so good if I say me and Taylor might still have sex rather than might owe me sex. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Kim, for being the
Thanks,
woman.
Kim.
What kind of demented pick-me behavior is that? You want your husband to
say that
another
Taylor
woman
owes
him sex. Thank you, Kim Kardashian.
It's literally not even funny. Like, it's in any context, it's really not funny.
Go take a fucking selfie, bitch. Let's do something that you actually know a thing or two about. Let's not
work
talk about art because you don't know. And also, to be fair, Taylor might owe me sex. It actually sounds worse than I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. It's funnier the first way around. The second way around. Sounds better. Mm-hmm. So Taylor says, I mean, she's saying that honestly because she's your wife. And so I think whatever one you think is actually better, she's like, why are you involving me in your marital nonsense? Do what's best for your relationship. I think owes me sex says different things. It means, look, I made her what she is. She actually owes me because people are going to be like, she doesn't owe him shit. And Taylor's like, I'm people. I'm the people.
This is literally what I'm people, Taylor.
It's not a joke. It's my life. I'm the people. But then people who like thought it was badass and crazy and awesome and that you're so outspoken are going to be like, yeah, she does. It made her famous. So it's more provocative to say still have sex because no one would see that coming. They're both crazy. Do what you want. They're both going to get every single headline in the world. Owes me sex is a little bit more like throwing shade and the other one's more flirtatious. It depends on what you want to accomplish with this.
Now, this is some really interesting food. It really does depend on what you want to accomplish with it, Kanye. What are you trying to accomplish with the song? I think we know. And Taylor knew, too. She was so uncomfortable to just say, I don't want you to do that. It's so clear
that
she was dancing around it. She was dancing around it.
She knows that he's going to do it anyway. So she's like, you know what? I actually don't want this to happen to me, but I think it's going to be worse if it comes out and I respond badly. So I'm going to try and pretend for your sake. And for my sake, so that we can still be friends, I'm going to pretend that this actually doesn't bother me. And the thing is that like, had the line come out without the phrase, that bitch, I don't think she would have taken this offense. But because not only did she not like the original line to begin with, he went and added something she said at the beginning of the phone call would make her upset and she felt was mean. She had no choice. Does a scorpion sting when fighting back?
They strike to kill and you know I will.
He looks at the camera after they hang up and goes, cool, peace, bye. We had to get that on the record. You knew what you were doing.
I bet
they did. You knew that you were going to turn around and make it something different. So Taylor's statement 4 years later, when this comes out, she says, instead of answering those who are asking how I feel about the video footage that leaked, proving that I was telling the truth the whole time about that call. You know, the one that was illegally recorded. She loves to say illegally recorded. She said
she loves
it so many times.
She's saying, you're lucky I didn't take you to court.
Yep. That somebody edited and manipulated in order to frame me and put me, my family, and fans through hell for years. Swipe up to see what really matters. I was like, okay.
Better.
Just have your moment. And I think it's like a swipe up to like a COVID thing, like something like a fundraiser. So then Kim, when I read this again, I got so angry and I was like, I hope only that Kim is worse than Scott Borchetta and on par with Scooter Braun to me because she's evil. Like the way that she has handled this entire situation has been, I hate women. Taylor Swift is a lying bitch, even when confronted with evidence. So this is what she says. Taylor has chosen to reignite an old exchange that at this point in time feels very self-serving given the suffering millions of real victims are facing right now. You had a 40th birthday party during COVID. You took all your friends to a private island and posted about it and showed off.
We were there. She thinks we don't remember. She thinks we don't remember.
I'm like, you're hello? You crazy, bitch. As Tiffany Pollard said, you crazy, bitch. You're insane. She goes on, I didn't feel the need to comment a few days ago because you had no idea what to say because you were caught in a lie. And I'm actually really embarrassed and mortified to be doing it now because she continues to speak on it, I feel like I'm left with no choice but to respond because she is actually lying. Just because you say something doesn't make it true. Doesn't make it true. To be clear, the only issue I ever had around the situation was that Taylor lied through her publicist who stated that Kanye never called to ask for permission. They clearly spoke, so I let you all see that. Nobody ever denied the word bitch was used without her permission. At the time when they spoke, the song had not been fully written, but as everyone can see in the video, she manipulated the truth of their actual conversation in her statement when her team said she declined and cautioned him about releasing a song with a misogynistic message. Okay, so what's your issue? Your issue is that Kanye never called to ask for permission is a lie, or your issue is about the misogynistic message? Because actually, if you look at the full transcript, she kind of did caution him about releasing the song. She didn't say it in those words, but she said, the feminists are going to come for you.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So now who's stretching? Now who's taking the cheese and going like this with it? You see how that works?
You're
she can do that too. You're the only one who can do that? Not on my watch.
That Khloe Kardashian meme. The lie was never about the word bitch. It was always whether there was a call or not and the tone of the conversation. I never edited the footage. Another lie, she says. I only posted a few clips on Snapchat to make my point, and the full video that recently leaked doesn't change that narrative. To add, Kanye as an artist has every right to document his musical journey just like she recently did in her documentary. Kanye has documented the making of all his albums for his personal archive. You're still defending him in 2020. You're still mounting your steed and writing for your mentally ill husband.
It's not right. She really...
He's beyond blonde and gone at this point. He's been doing the MAGA shit.
Anybody?
It's
Kim,
crazy.
Home?
Then
it's
she
crazy.
Says, the gaslighting is crazy. Then she says, the call between the two of them would have remained private or gone in the trash had she not lied and forced me to defend him. Who forced you to defend him? Who forced you to? You did that of your own accord. You got off your ass. Kanye West is perfectly capable of using his own voice and defending himself should he wish to. You did not have to get involved in this proxy war. It had nothing to do with you.
But she can't help herself. It's like a moth to a flame.
You
what? Relevance?
Moment.
Relevance?
You wanted a moment.
Oh, she
Did
wants
you get
a moment. Don't
job?
Do that. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
It's rude.
She wants a moment. <Come on. laughs> Kim Kardashian is in dire need of attention.
It's Should we
the
give
only
it to her?
Thing that she has going for her. She then says, this will be the last time I speak on this because honestly, nobody cares. Sorry to bore you all with this. I know you were dealing with more serious and important matters. Funny how it's not serious and important when it makes you look dumb. That's interesting. It was
it's
very important to you in 2016.
It was of the utmost importance to you in 2016. Now, all of a sudden, because you're the one who's got egg on the face, now we all have to move on. Not on my watch. Unfortunately, everybody did move on. That's the sad part.
That's
Nobody
the sad part.
Nobody cared. Nobody
Tree's
cared.
Tree's response is so cunty to me. And it was so unlike her to like take a personal shot at someone. She says, I'm Taylor's publicist, and this is my unedited original statement, which says specifically Kanye did not call for approval off the top. That's actually literally what the statement says. It says he didn't call for approval, but he did call to ask her about songs. By the way, when you take parts out, that's editing. And it's true. When you omit parts of a video deliberately and you selectively choose parts to make someone look a certain way, mm-hmm.
That's editing.
Editing.
That's what I call editing, ladies and gentlemen. That's Tyler.
P.S. Who did you guys piss off to leak that video? I have no doubt that Taylor's team had been working for years behind the scenes to get that video leaked. And I'm so proud of every single person that was involved in that effort. Congratulations, girls. It was needed. We needed that. Taylor vindicated. And I mean, she's hung up on it because nobody cared because it happened at the wrong time. Slow news day.
Slow news day. When it's burn the bitch, they're shrieking. When the truth comes out, it's quiet. I'm telling you, she was spitting fire. She knew the truth. She was looking around like nobody cares. Does anybody care?
But
you know what's really funny is that I didn't really care either because I already figured. I was like, oh, okay.
COVID.
Yeah.
Also at that point, she had already, I mean, to me, the real moment of like true clarity, first of all, the secret sessions, because she explained how it went down. So in that moment, I was like, okay, I knew you were right, but you're right. Then the Lover interview went with Rolling Stone, where she spoke about it at length made a lot more sense. When we had the context of how the 2009 incident made her feel from Miss Americana to made a lot more sense. When this came out, it was like, well, yes, but also we had to move on because there were actually legitimately bigger things going on. Unfortunately, that was true.
Yeah, the important thing to me was that she was saying Loverfest canceled. That was what I was clocked into.
And also,
that's
I mean,
what I was clocked in.
The reason why people chafe, people being us and other normal people at Thank You, Amy and stuff, is that like your career speaks for itself. Your nemesis will defeat themselves before it gets the chance to swing. Like you won so astronomically and more than ever before. Like these two people look like clowns. Every tongue that rises against you shall fall. I respect her need to like vocalize it and have her moment, but I just wish the songs were good. If the songs were good, I would be like, oh my God. Like if we're getting ready for it, if we're getting Look What You Made Me Do again, I'm saying more, more, more. But when we're getting Thank You, Amy and Cassandra, I'm like, okay. Cassandra, I'm a little bit more willing to accept because there is something interesting going on there. Thank You, Amy. There's no reason for it to exist. There is no reason for that song to exist.
No, Thank You, Amy really doesn't need to be on the docket because Cassandra kind of does what Thank You, Amy does, but better. I mean, she said it. Thank You, Amy. And what really pisses me off about it.
Capitalizing Kim in the title really does not make the You Are Petty allegation go away.
That was giving, this should have been like on Reputation. This should, or even on Lover, I would have accepted it a lot more.
Yeah,
I would have accepted it a lot more. But like, now, come on, man. We're 35.
Your success speaks for itself, okay? And you've just been ghosted by a really hideous man. So I think we should focus on that humiliation.
I think we should. You have enough on your plate. Worry about that.
You really do.
Yep.
You have enough on your plate. I have no doubt that this will be a surprise song until the end of time. She thinks she did something with Thank You, Amy.
Well, you know what? I will say this. You know, Taylor has fans from every single demographic and every age group, which is amazing. Middle school girls are saying yes. So I'm going to let them have it.
I hate my Amy bully. Yeah, you can have it. You think bronze spray tan statue is a good image? Congratulations.
Bronze spray tan statue.
God. You know what? I don't want to end there because we need to be Tay positive.
No, we need pause it. We need to be doing
Tay
this.
Tay vindicated.
Tay right.
And it's Tay been truth. Gorgeous to see this coming back around. And you know what is even better is to watch Kim Kardashian's continual decline into irrelevance. I love it. I love to see it.
It's very enjoyable to me as well because you know what? It was always going to go this way. She really doesn't have anything to offer. In the year of our Lord 2025, what is Kim offering the people?
She knew that.
We don't even have Kimoji anymore.
No, we never had Kimoji to begin with.
We don't even have Kim Kardashian's Superstar. What was that game called?
Isn't her makeup brand also defunct? Like, didn't that end too? Like, you're over.
Is that a thing?
She had KKW Beauty and now it's
finished. She does have Skims. Skims apparently is doing very well. So
have that.
Good for her.
Stop employing my good sis Sabrina Carpenter. Don't do that anymore. When I read this part, I'm kind of with the diehard Swifties saying, why is Lana and Sabrina taking a campaign from Skims? Why are you doing that?
I think we should open the case. I look away. I maybe we needed the check. I don't know. Lana, I bet, did need the check. But I don't know about Sabrina. Yes.
I'm not joking when I say that Kim Kardashian could offer me $10 million to post an Instagram story about Skims and I would never do it. I would never, ever do that.
No, I've never bought anything from Skims on principle alone. I feel like everything that they sell, I could probably get somewhere else. So like I don't have to buy from Skims. I'd rather buy from Fenty.
I fell victim for the gym tank tops and I hated them. They're like really uncomfortable. The material sucks. The sizing is off. Like it's drop shipped stuff from Alibaba. That's really what it is. And any Kardashian product is that, by the way. They're all that.
I would like to say, go on record, I never bought anything from Kylie Cosmetics. I always knew that it had talc.
I did either.
And sewage in
it. It looked cheap. It always looked cheap.
So period.
Goodbye. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you soon. And patreon.com/swiftologist. You can hear from us weekly. There are big things coming on the Patreon. So you need to be going and staying tuned.